You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Y'all, let's. If you need a Bible, the ushers will put one in your hand. I've entitled our message this morning, Father Knows Best. And Billy Graham says, excuse me, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. And so let me just say this. This morning, as you're here, perhaps you had a great dad. Wonderful. Perhaps you had a good dad. Okay, that's good. Or maybe you had a bad dad. Maybe your dad was Darth Vader. You had a Darth Vader dad. Where it's like, I'm your father. You're like, no. Yeah, okay. Well, listen, no matter what kind of earthly father you had or you have, the one thing that we know is that we have a heavenly father who is perfect and right and righteous. So it is a happy Father's Day, no doubt for us earthly dads, but it's most importantly a happy Father's Day to our Heavenly Father. Now, as we are looking at Father's Day, and I've entitled it Father Knows Best, here's the thing. Did you realize that Father's Day is the lowest attended service of the year for churches? You would think Super Bowl. Father's Day. You know what? One of the highest attended days is Mother's Day, along with Christmas and Easter. And I thought about that. I was like, okay, so I picture a mom getting up and saying, it's Mother's Day. It's my day. We're going to church. The father gets up and says, it's Father's Day. It's my day. We're going fishing. Or whatever. But I thank God that y'all are here. That's wonderful. It's good to see y'all. Let's pray before we read our verse. Father, once again, Lord, we just thank you. We want, Father, to be focused on the things that you want to say to our hearts this morning. Father, we want to hear from you. And Lord, we want you to hear from us that we love you and we are grateful for you. And so, Father, inhabit our hearts, clear our minds. Give us ears to hear, and may we be attentive to what you want to tell us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 8, verse 15. It's really not a springboard verse because we're going to be kind of all over the place. But let's go ahead, and I will reference this a couple of times. So you want to keep a bookmark right there, Romans chapter 8, verse 15. That was weird. All right. So it says, for you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, oftentimes, I remember the first time that I heard Abba, Father, Abba, the first thing I thought of was that cheesy band in the 80s, you know, Dancing Queen and all those silly songs started going through my head in service. And then, thankfully, my pastor explained that Abba simply means daddy. Now, we say, okay, that's great. No. See, the one thing that we don't understand is the fact that the patriarchs that we read about in the Old Testament, they knew nothing of Abba referring to God. In fact, you know, Abraham, Jacob, Moses, David, Elijah, all of these guys, none of them would refer to God as Abba. Yet, Jesus blew everyone's mind when the disciples came up to him and said, hey, teacher, teach us how to pray. And he said, pray like this, our Father in heaven, holy be your name, hallowed. And for them, that blew their mind. Why? Because you didn't call God Father. You didn't call him father. You didn't have that kind of rapport. In fact, in the Old Testament, they would remove the vowels from God's name so that if someone would come across and see God's name, they couldn't use his name in vain. So they removed the vowels. But then when a scribe, when he was transliterating the scripture into another parchment, every time he came to God's name, he would have to ceremonially wash himself and he'd get rid of the pen and the well and get a new pen and well every single time he came to God's name and then remove the vowels. That's how holy the name of God was, let alone to be so personal to call him Father. Jesus said, hey, pray this way, our Father. The disciples were like, what? You're calling him Father? Can you do that? Well, we know we can. But then Jesus takes it to another level. In Mark 14, and we'll get there shortly when we get back to Mark, in verse 35 and 36, he says, and he went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. So Jesus, first he tells the disciples, call him Father, our Father who art in heaven. And their minds were blown. Then Jesus goes, Daddy. Daddy? Yeah, it says, listen, if you go over to Israel, I've heard that the little children run around and you'll hear them going, Abba, 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 Daddy, 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 Abba. So here Jesus, a man, 100% man, 100% God, but 100% man in our example, he cries out, Abba, Father, Daddy, if there be another way. How precious. Now someone will come up to me and say, but Pastor Randy, that's Jesus. Jesus can say Daddy. Well, Paul understood this. He grasped this concept. We just read Romans 8:15. Let's read it again. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we who have been adopted cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. Wow. What an honor, men. What an honor to be called, to be able to be called Father. You're your children's father. Not only that, to be able to be called Daddy. Daddy, just like God. Williams Wordsworth said this, Father to God himself cannot give a holier name. I love that. Now, I want you to understand, there's a difference between Father and Daddy. Father offers authority, correction, provision, but Daddy offers love and nurturing and guidance. By the way, Daddy is an action word. Do you realize that? To be called Daddy, to use the word Daddy speaks of action. Listen, it's been said it's easy for a man to have children. It's harder for children to have a daddy. Listen, anybody can become a father through procreation. But to turn from a father into a loving daddy, that can only be accomplished by the expression of love. Expression of love. Now, we can cry out to our Heavenly Father. We can say, Abba, because He has expressed incredible love to us. Here's one of my favorite verses. You know, I quote it quite often from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. And it says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Behold, now we are children of God. And it has not been yet revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Now, notice it says in verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Behold. John is saying, listen, think about it. Take a deep look. contemplate, muse over the fact that God loves us so deeply. And he says, behold what manner. In other words, the quality, the type that the Father has bestowed on us. I like this. Very few verses do I prefer in the NIV, but this is one of those verses that I really do prefer in the NIV because it reads like this. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. And I like that. Lavished. It's a lavish love that God has for us. It's not a numb, cold love. It's not numb and cold. It's not mediocre or typical. It's not a so-so love. No, it's a lavish, extravagant love that the Father has bestowed upon us. By the way, that word, it's didomi. Didomi. Didomi in the Greek means to give one something to his advantage, to supply, to furnish a necessary thing. A necessary thing. God has supplied a necessary thing. He has given us something to our advantage. To our advantage? Yes. We receive the adoption, and we're going to look at that here in a moment. But we receive God's love. Brothers and sisters, have you received the love of God, that lavished love, that extravagant love? You know, when we talk about love, I couldn't help it. Anytime there's like buzzwords, I always have to look at what do kids think of the definition of these words. So let me give you some kids and their definition of love. Rebecca, age 8. When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know your name is safe in their mouth. That's cute. Oh, here you go. Billy, age 4. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go around smelling each other. Chrissy, age 6. Love is what makes you smile even when you're tired. Isn't that cute? Oh, here you go. Chris, age 7. Love is when your puppy licks your face even after you left him home all day. Nika, age 6. Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt and he wears it every day. Claire, age 6. Love is when mommy gives daddy the best piece of chicken. What is the best piece of chicken? I wonder. I want the best piece. No, okay. Elaine, age 5. Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and dirty and still thinks he's handsomer than Brad Pitt. Oh, here you go. Last one. Bobby, age 7. If you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend who you hate. That's some deep theology for that kid. Huh? I should have him come and teach a sermon. Listen, we all need love. God created us to want to be loved. It's a natural, it's in our DNA to want to be loved. When a baby cries out, first of all, he's offended that he got smacked in the bottom, but when a baby cries out, the first thing the baby wants is love. As soon as that baby starts to receive love, they calm down. Why? Because we were created to want to be loved. Listen, how many of you started off your life as a baby? I'm glad some of you raised your hand. That was awesome. Listen, we were all babies once, right? And some of you ladies are saying my husband's still a baby. But that's a whole nother sermon. But we were all babies. Now, and as children, we aren't chosen. You know, parents don't get to choose the babies that they receive. Nor do the children get to choose their parents. Because if we were able to do that, things would be completely different. Completely. But I want you to recognize and understand this. It's just like Christianity. You can't join Christianity. You have to be born into Christianity. But you know what the part that I love about Christianity is that God chooses us. See, unlike the earthly parents where we don't get to choose our children, God has chosen us. Listen, John 15, 16 says this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed that you should go and bear fruit." God chose you. God chose me. And we can't join Christianity. We must be born into Christianity. But we all need love. And God is love. So you know what that tells me? That we all need God. Huh. Not only does God, is he love, not only is he love and he loves us, but he loves us and he adopts us as his own children. There is no other false deity like that. Our God is real. Every other God is false. And all the other false gods, not one of them loves the people who worship them to adopt them as children and take them in as part of his family. Go ahead, go ask a Muslim. Did Muhammad adopt you? Does he love you? Yeah, good luck on that. We don't believe in luck. I know what you meant. Now, do me a favor. Don't do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. Turn back to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. But here's what I want to do. I want to back up one verse to 14, and then I want to read two verses after 15, 16 and 17. Now that we understand that love, first of all, Father, Abba Father, how intense that is, or at least we kind of grasp it a little better, and that we understand that God loves us. Look at this, verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Think about it. What manner of love has God bestowed on us? What great love the Father has lavished us with? Well, first of all, it says that we get to now cry out to God, Abba, Father, Daddy. He's not just our Father, he is our Daddy, because he loves us actively. And we are children of God. We are adopted into his family by God, adopted by God. Wow. Try and wrap your mind around that. And then on top of that, we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. I understand that Christ has great reward, that Christ has an incredible inheritance. Of course, he's the Son of God. He lived a sinless life. He was perfection. He was a sacrifice. We get that. But we then get to share in his reward. We are joint heirs with Christ. What? I get it when God gives that to his Son, to Jesus. Perfection, loving, kind, gracious, awesome. But when he then shares that with you and I, are we worthy of such things? Man, you want to talk about a lavish love? Wow. But here's the thing. Yeah, I'm not worthy, but yet he's going to give it to me. And you know all the only thing I can say? Father knows best. I embrace it. I don't know why, Lord, but you know best. So give it. I can't wait to get my inheritance. How awesome. Now, that's great. So we've addressed God the Father, but what about our earthly dads? On Father's Day, we can't ignore them. Some of you are dads. All of you have a dad. But we have to consider. Now, in order to consider dads and to understand this father, daddy, man principle, we have to go all the way back to Genesis. So if you would, turn to Genesis chapter 1. verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Now, you would think, wait a minute, in our image, in our likeness, isn't that kind of redundant? Is God repeating himself? No, he's not. It would seem these two are similar, but they are quite different. You see, I am made in the image of God in my maleness. I'm made in the likeness of God in my manhood. Well, you say, okay, so what's the difference? Maleness, manhood, is there a difference? Yes. Think of it like this. I'm a male biologically, but I'm a man by responsibility. Because there are some males that live long lives and never become men. Age does not constitute a man. It just constitutes a male. You can be very immature and irresponsible and not very manlike. And that's where we get the term, hey, man up. In other words, take on the responsibility. Being male doesn't make you a man. Taking responsibility makes you a man. Having sex can make you a parent, but it doesn't make you a man. Doesn't make you a daddy. Any man can father a child, but only a real man can be a daddy. Or should I say, any male can father a child, but only a man can be a daddy. Taking responsibility for children makes you a man. By the way, let's add another concept on there. Taking responsibility and repenting for your sins and admitting that you are broken in need of a Savior makes you a man of God. So important. But being a daddy means sacrifice. It really does. It means sacrifice. So often I've seen where, too often perhaps, even one is too many, a young lady becoming impregnated and then the boy is nowhere around. That's not a man. It takes a real man to make the sacrifice to be there for his children and for his wife. Isaiah 53:10 says this, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You see, our Heavenly Father, our Abba Father, made a huge sacrifice by sending His Son to die. He set an example for us earthly dads that, listen, as an earthly father, we have to make sacrifices for our kids. And sometimes the sacrifices we make are very painful, very costly. But it's all worth it, is it not? It really is. And listen, God made the sacrifice for you and I. Why? Because Father knows best. Now, here's the question, dads, daddies, plural out there, I pray, not just fathers. What are you teaching your kids? What example are you leaving? We see God's example. He sent his son. He didn't care what the cost. He poured a lavish love upon us. He showed us how to forgive by forgiving us. What are you teaching your kids? What are you instilling in your children? I ran across this story of a father who once took his little boy in his lap and he described in great detail what a Christian was, what they looked like. And when he was through, the little boy asked a question that pierced his father's heart. He said, Daddy, have you ever seen one? Ooh. Oh, listen, if we are the kind of parents that take the time to describe to our children what a Christian looks like, prayerfully they look in our lives and they see what we've just described, lived out, expressed, not just with words, but with actions. One writer put it this way, talking about his dad. He says, he didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. That's what Jesus was. Jesus was the Father showing us how to live. Some fathers never become good daddies because the example that they're leaving doesn't look very Christ-like. The love that they're leaving isn't a legacy that will carry on. In fact, it'll be what their kids say, I don't want to be like my dad because he didn't love me. Wow. It's so important, men, that if you have a dad, that you show forgiveness if he was not a good dad. If you had a great dad, that you follow in his footsteps. And if you are a dad, that you show your children what it means to be loved by God and show that love back to them. One family, the kids wanted a hamster. And they begged, and they begged, and they pleaded. After some time, and the kids just being relentless, you know how kids can be, right? Mom gave in, and she bought them the little hamster. The kids affectionately named their little hamster Danny. But after some time, Mom found herself tending to hamster Danny. She decided enough's enough. I got to feed the thing and water the thing and clean its cage. I've had it. She gathered the kids and she informed them that the little pet that they affectionately named Danny had to go. She wasn't going to feed him anymore. She wasn't going to clean up after him. And she was shocked when she told the kids that. The kids took it well and they said, yeah, we agree. In fact, the kids said, yeah, he eats too much. He's messy and all he does is sleep all day. It's no fun to play with. She goes, wow. Okay, well, since you agree, please go get the cage and we're getting rid of him. They go, no! We thought you said Daddy, not Danny. We want to keep Danny. We want to keep Danny. He's fun. Daddies, are you fun for your kids? Do you love them? Are you expendable? Are you dependable? You know, I love... my wife and I, we have a blended family. And little Riley is so cute. I remember the first time this happened. We're walking into the store, Smith's, and we're walking, and I just felt her reach and grab my hand. I didn't ask her to. She just did. And I was like, that just warmed my heart. That was so cool. Because I didn't ask her to hold my hand. She just took my hand. And we walked into the store, and it was great. And then from time to time, she just comes up for no reason. She just, can I have a hug? I'm like, absolutely you can have a hug. In a heartbeat. And it just made me think about God. James Dobson put it this way. A good father will leave an imprint on his daughter for the rest of her life. And so Riley comes and she wants a hug and I never tell her no. I always give her hugs. She can hold my hand anytime. And it made me think about this. A truly rich man is the one whose children run to his arms when his hands are empty. You see, do we come to God just because we love him and want a hug? Or do we only come to him when there's trouble and we need something? You ever have family members like that or a friend like that? You know, every time they call, you know, oh boy, it's Billy Bob. What's he going to want this time? Hey, Billy Bob, how you doing? Haven't heard from you in a couple of months. Oh yeah, no, I've been busy. I was just thinking. Can I borrow your car? Like, click. It was a salesman. Yeah, how does that make you feel, especially if it's one of your children, and the only time you hear from them is when they want something? Is that how our relationship is with God? We only come to God when we need something? Pastor Randy, how can I have that kind of love with God where I just come to Him because I love Him? How can I do that? I'm glad you asked. Come to God, first of all, in obedience. See, our obedience is the greatest expression of love that we can offer to God. And that's what He wants the most. But then we can also come in prayer. But what kind of prayer? The kind of prayer that just says, God, man, I just love you. I just want to hold your hand. I just want a hug from you today. I don't want anything from you. I just want love. And your love. So what better place to go than to go to God for your love needs? Service. But I want you to understand. Not just service for service. Mean service because it pleases Him, because you know it's right. And how about this? Praise worship. See, all of these are worship. Obedience, prayer, service. That's all worship. But I mean praise worship, like what we do here. Come into the service and give a sacrifice of praise from your lips, coming from your heart, out your lips to God. Just because. Or how about this? Come in here and beat the worship team to God's altar before they get there. You're already there. It's like, catch up, y'all. How about have that heart? We just want to come here. You just want to be close to God. You just want to take your squeaky little off-key voice and offer it to God with joy. How cool is that? That's love. That's a sacrifice. Especially the person standing next to you. I'm just teasing. Listen. Know that He loves you and cares for you. Know that Father knows best. Now, you know what the greatest Father's Day gift ever given was? Not my PlayStation 4, my Battlefield 1. No, another gift, even better than that. I'm just joking. You know what the greatest Father's Day gift ever given was? Christ on the cross. Christ on the cross. But do you know what He was giving His Father? Us. You and me. You and me, you and I, we, us, we are the greatest gift ever given to God the Father. And I don't get that. I know me. What kind of gift is that? I'd send it back. But He loves us. And for Him, it was the greatest Father's Day gift. Jesus gave us to the Father, and He couldn't have been more pleased. I don't get that, but I'm glad He knows best. I'm so glad. And yet, we go, okay, I get why God the Father loves the Son so much. Look at what He did. But do you realize that God already loved the Son? Even Matthew 3:16. Matthew 3:16. When He had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to Him. And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon Him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Jesus hadn't even started ministering. He hadn't healed anyone. He hadn't cast out a demon. He hadn't delivered one public sermon for us to listen to or to gravitate to. Nothing. But yet God had pleasure in Him. Not because of activity, but because of identity. Because He was identified. Listen, sometimes we think that God wants to be pleased with us if we have all this activity. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing that. God must love me. No, the only thing you need to be loved by God is to be identified in Christ. In other words, are you in love with Jesus? Not because of what you've done for Jesus. Listen, God wants you to be identified as a child of God, and it simply comes by loving Him, not by doing things. And here's the proof. In John 8, in the 8th chapter of John, Jesus tells the religious leaders that they are evil. These are the guys that tithed. These are the guys that prayed. They served. They fasted. They did all these things, but they weren't in love with God. They weren't in love with Jesus. And so Jesus says, you don't know my Father. You don't love Him. You're just doing these activities. You're doing things. Right? I mean, we get that, right? We fall in love with somebody. You have children and you love them. You truly love them. You do things for them. Not because you have to prove your love. It's just a byproduct. You take care of your kids. You feed your kids. You send them to school when they're sick. You sit there and wipe their nose. When they're babies, you wipe other things. You take care of them. It's a sacrifice, but it's not one you do to prove that you're their daddy and mommy. You do it because you are their daddy and mommy. And that's the thing. Are you identified with Christ? Do you love Him? Do you love the Father? I love this. Joshua 24:24 says this. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey. I love that. I love that. That they're going to just, listen, we're just going to do what God says. We're going to obey Him. We're going to love Him. He's going to be important to us. Why? Because He's already shown and proven that He loves us. He loved us while we were His enemies. Is God your hero? No, really. Is God your hero? We should know His voice. Do you hear His voice? And by the way, God has given us His voice abundantly in your Bible. Do you read your Bible because you realize it's God's expressions of love to you? Or do you read your Bible as a checklist? Is your activity what you think counts you as a lover of Jesus? Okay, I went to church, I did my quota. I carry my Bible, there's my quota. Listen, when you fall in love with somebody, you don't put their name on a t-shirt and walk around and say, there, this proves that I love them. Because you could be rotten to them and have the t-shirt. Listen, it's about identifying with Christ, not what you do. What you do will fall in line once you've fallen in love. It's the presence of God. Is the presence of God the most valuable thing in your week, in your life, in your day? Is that the first thing that you want, is the presence of God? Is that the thing you long for, is to hold His hand? Now, on this Father's Day, I have to encourage you to take heart. Why? Because some of us didn't have good dads. I didn't have a good dad. My dad was mean to us kids, mean to my mama. I watched him verbally abuse her. I watched him engage in infidelity. He never gave me a hug. He never said, I love you. He never gave me a kiss. His expression of any kind of emotion was to buy me a toy. Take me down to the store and buy me a toy gun. Here, mijo, here's a toy gun. Go shoot the neighbors. Because that was his idea of fun. But he never expressed any love until he received Christ. And then I got to spend 1 year with my dad where he gave me a hug. He gave me a kiss. Well, I don't think he kissed me. But he gave me a hug. It felt like to me that felt like a mushy kiss. But he gave me a hug and he said, mijo, I love you. And that was amazing. I knew he was saved. But even if he had stayed rotten, I have a heavenly Father who loves me. No matter what kind of dad I have. Now, if you are a dad, do you love your kids? Are you a father or are you a daddy? Huge difference. Call your dad. Tell him you love him. If you are a dad, love your children. Remember, we're created in his image and his likeness. He is the example. He is what we are to express. And listen, life is too short, is it not? I love this song. I've quoted it before on Father's Day. I'm going to do it now. It's by Mike and the Mechanics. It's called The Living Years. Listen to the words. Every generation blames the one before, and all of their frustration come beating on your door. I know that I'm a prisoner to all my father held so dear. I know that I'm a hostage to all his hopes and fears. I just wish I could have told him in the living years. So say it loud, say it clear. You can listen as well as you hear. It's too late when we die to admit we don't see eye to eye. I wasn't there that morning when my father passed away. Didn't get to tell him all the things I had to say. I think I caught his spirit later that same year. I'm sure I heard his echo in my baby's newborn tears. I just wish I could have told him in the living years. I got one last quote for you from a little kid. Mark, age 6. He says this. You really shouldn't say, I love you, unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot, because people forget. We should tell him we love him a lot, because we forget how important he is. And it's what we were created to do. And hey, Father knows best. Let's pray. Father, Abba, Daddy, thank you, Lord. Thank you for love. You are love. And Father, you fulfill our need for love. You are faithful. Lord, you are the one love that never fails. And Lord, we are created in your image. And Lord, 1 Corinthians 13 says, love never fails. We should have love for each other, for our children. We should have love for you like you have love for us. It's unfailing, unwavering. It's agape. It's faithful. It's amazing. And so, Father, I prayed this morning for the earthly dads who are here. Father, I ask that you would instill in us the ability to be good daddies, to take from your example and express your love to our children, to our wives, to our friends, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, I thank you that you never, ever fail us. And so, without exception, Lord, we want to thank you and praise you. And we want to say happy Father's Day to our ultimate daddy, Abba, Father, God. Thank you for Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for being that example. And Lord, for giving us back to your Father. Lord, we're so happy to be that gift. May we be the gift that keeps on giving. God, I just love you. Lord, I believe my brothers and sisters here, I think we all love you, Lord. But Father, we forget to tell you sometimes. And Lord, our love sometimes becomes numb or mechanical. Lord, I don't want a mechanical love, Lord. I'm not a robot, Lord. And so, Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here, and I would say happy Father's Day to all the dads, all the daddies, and Lord, just be blessed. May we bless you by what we do and say. Father, we love you, praise you, and honor you. In Jesus' name. And all God's children said,